You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Ross Briley, John Babb and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. Busy Tuesday in store as well with National Hunt Racing from Kempton and Ludlow, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tapeter at Wolverhampton in the afternoon. And more in the evening as well. We've got racing on the flat at Brighton and over the obstacles at Sedgefield. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, Mark. I had a winning nap yesterday.
Good, good. Late charge to the top, John?
A late charge, you could say that.
Oh, I'm having dreadful luck with the naps, John. I had a 25-1 second on Saturday.
Oh,
it's been story of my season.
Yes, I know. It is desperate when that happens.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on from the naps, John, because I'll start crying on this side of the desk if we carry on. We're going to look at the Racing Post Monday jury, as we usually do, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's action as well. So, first question of the Monday jury, John. What chance do you give Craven winner Stormy Antarctic in the 2,000 guineas?
Well, I think he's got a good chance of getting into the context of the race, into the frame. I don't think he'll win. I think Air Force Blue will win. I should be very disappointed if he doesn't. The vibes suggest he is trained on well during the winter, and he was very impressive last autumn. But Ed Walker's colt did nothing wrong at Newmarket. He, in fact, won the Craven Stakes well. And if he improves, as I expect he will from that, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be involved in the shake-up. And were Air Force Blues to appear below form, which I pray he will not, then obviously he's got a great chance. But I think if you are a place betting man, you could well profit from having a place bet on.
Yes, currently 12-1 in the betting at Stormy Antarctic, and at the moment it's quarter of the odds, 1, 2 and 3. But as you mentioned, John, Air Force Blue looks the one to beat and is the 8-11 favourite at the top of the market, so looks about right, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're not going to get rich on this one. In fact, I backed him Antipostal, you know, quite a long time ago, but he looked a really superstar, and it'll be disappointing for racing if he flops.
Second question then, John, what about the prospects of Nell Gwynn winner Nathra in the 1,000 guineas?
Again, rather similar, I thought. Nathra ran well, and she will improve on that particular run. I don't think the Nell Gwynn has got a particularly good reputation for throwing up the winner of the 1,000 guineas. But Nathra was, of course, beaten by Minding in the Fillies Mile at Ascot last autumn. And all the sort of form we've seen with fillies up to this moment suggests that Minding is very much the form horse and ought to win the 1,000 guineas. But, Mark, Minding comes from Aidan O'Brien's yard, and you know they don't have a particularly good record in the 1,000 guineas. Their fillies tend to run perhaps just as a little bit below form in the first classic and then bloom as the season progressed. And I think Nathra's got a good chance of reaching the frame. Obviously, Minding is the form horse, but for the caveat I've just mentioned, and I'm afraid I've got to go for Lumiere in the 1,000 guineas. They all tell me, and you will probably do the same, sprinter can't possibly last the mile. But, you know, Mark Johnson's no fool, and he has loved this grey from the moment she appeared. And it was when appearing for the first time at Newmarket, admittedly over a sprint distance, you know, all the vibes were out. And he says that she's improved well during the winter. He's confident that she will stay the mile. And Mark Johnson's won the 1,000 guineas with Attraction before now, and has also done pretty well in the 2,000 in the past with Mr. Bailey's and Bijou Dand.
And he started the season in flying form, hasn't he, Mark Johnson?
He certainly has.
Yeah. Minding the 13-8 favourite for the 1,000 guineas, Lumiere is 4-1 second in. It's 6-1 for Ballydoyle. Nathra is 10-1, 16s for Illuminate and 20s or bigger for the others. That's how the market stands at the moment. Which other horses caught your eye at the Craven meeting or at Chelmsford, John?
Quite a few, and I must keep them down to a minimum. Three, I think. Gifted Island, first of all, I thought was tremendously impressive in the Tattersall's million 3-year-old sprint.
Gifted Master, John.
Gifted Master, sorry. Yeah. Hugo Palmer, he's a trainer I have a tremendous amount of time for. And I think he'll have a great season. And I thought this horse ran really well. And he's in the right hands, can easily become a serious sprinter in the months ahead. I also liked Acclaim at Newmarket. I'm a great follower of Martin Mead, and I thought this horse showed a lot of acceleration with Ryan Moore in the saddle, justifying strong support in the market during the day, came from last to first. And at Chelmsford, I was most impressed with Gabriel's Kaka, Richard Fahey's handicapper. I thought it was a really good win, because this is a horse who really wants a galloping straight mile, and to win as he did almost cosily over the Chelmsford turn, I thought was most impressive. And it just reminds me what a good trainer Richard Fahey is. You know, he, whatever it is, whether it's 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, or particularly handicappers, the horses run well throughout the season. Arctic Feeling was another good winner, you see, at Beverley earlier in the week. Look for Richard Fahey. He's a man who will never let you down.
Yeah, you know where you stand with Richard Fahey. Early days, John, for the Derby and the Oaks, but who's on your shortlist for now?
Well, I'm not that sure about the Aidan O'Brien hot pot at the moment for the Derby. It's US Army Ranger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was very impressive, showed a lot of acceleration, and is obviously a horse of considerable ability. Whether it'd be absolutely suited to the Derby distance is open to question, and we just have to see whether he reappears before Epsom in early June. It is very early. The horse I like and I think has got the credentials for the Derby is Mid-Term.
Mm.
As far as the Oaks is concerned, well, you heard me talk about Minding.
Yep.
In the 1,000 guineas. I think Minding is an ideal horse for the Oaks.
Yeah, and Ed O'Brien has said that Minding will target both races, bidding to be the first filly since Kazia to win both back in 2002, I think it was. So.
Well, she might well do. She's certainly the form horse in the 1,000 guineas, and people will say I'm biased in supporting Lumiere, who is a sprinter, not a miler. Ho, ho.
Sylvester D'Souza, John, can he defend his jockey's title, or do you fancy someone else this season?
He can certainly defend his jockey's title. He'll go full out for it, and I see absolutely no reason why he shouldn't win it again. That's always assuming that issues such as whip suspensions and injuries don't spoil the campaign. But if he gets a clear run, as they say, I think he'll go very well indeed and will retain his crown. Opposition, I thought Andrea Adzani has actually started the season tremendously well. And if he were to get enough outside rides to have the opportunity to take in more rides than he has done over the past two seasons, he could easily be the jockey who Sylvester will have to look out for. But I'm a great Sylvester D'Souza man to get the championship for the second year in a row.
5-4 at the top of the market for the UK Jockeys Championship, Black Jockeys Championship. Ryan Moore 7-4 second in. 6-1 for Andrea Zini. William Buick 10s, 14s for Paul Hannigan, 16-1 for James Doyle, and 20s or bigger for the others. It sounds a little bit silly to say, John, but the one thing with Sylvester D'Souza is you know he's going to be going all out to get it, whereas somebody like Ryan Moore, who has undoubted ammunition and ability, it's not on his radar, is it?
No, it's not on his radar. It's also one of the reasons why I'm so against the new sort of system for the Jockeys' Championship. All right, people like Ryan Moore may well go away in the autumn for better things abroad, but that's their choice. And really, it shouldn't affect the Jockeys' Championship, which should, as usual, as it always has been, start at Doncaster in March and end at Doncaster in November.
Not the 15th of October, as it is nowadays. Can John Gosden hang on to the trainer's crown?
Yeah, I think he can. Of course, everything depends on whether the really well-bred three-year-olds he's got in the yard develop into classic contenders and Royal Ascot winners. But, you know, he is a very, very shrewd and a brilliant trainer. He's got plenty of horses there. I think the two Richards will numerically push him hard. Richard Hannon, who started earlier, in my view, and his horse is running very well at the moment. He's got an enormous yard and obviously will, you know, have every chance. And I mentioned Richard Fahey. I do think he's a great trainer in the north, and he could easily get into the shake-up. But I think John Gosden will be champion trainer again.
4-5 for John Gosden to be champion trainer. The trainer's championship has changed this year as well. It's now back to the original guise of 1st of January to 31st of December. Just in case you didn't know. A bit of other news, John, before we move on to Tuesday. I just want to get your thoughts on the National Hunt Trainers Championship, because Willie Mullins is going to add Underso to his title-chasing team at Sandown, and it means a rematch potentially with Sprinter Sacro, which is something that we can all look forward to.
Yes, we can all look forward to that. And it's very interesting that William Mullins has taken that decision because, as I said, I think in the podcast about 3 weeks ago, I thought that the bookmakers had got the prices all wrong and that Paul Nicholls would easily come back and take a hand. Well, he has done exactly that. In the past, he's had a very good record at Sandown in this end-of-season meeting. Just the Power won the big race last year, and I think he will be all out to do the same. But yes, Underso running, you know, really does open things up. And Willie Mullins is going to have runners rather more, I think, than Paul Nicholls at Perth during their spring festival coming up this week. So it is a thrilling contest. And, you know, one or two people on the emails when I was in yesterday were talking about they didn't think Willie Mullins, you know, was really a proper candidate it for the British Trainers Championship. I think that's wrong. I think the fact that he's brought these marvellous horses over to this country is a definite bonus and a boon. And, you know, he's made Paul Nicholls and co. really go for their money. And if Paul wins, which I actually hope he does, he will have made a tremendous achievement, in my view.
Yeah, and it's given us something else to look at the end of the season. And British racing would be far poorer if Willie Mullins didn't send his runners over, wouldn't it? So, he's also going to target Perth, Warwick and Taunton, which we wouldn't normally see, and he's got, at the time recording this, £43,000 or so to make up on Paul Nicholls after a pretty spectacular weekend for the Ditch Heat trainer. Anything else on your mind, John, before we get stuck into Tuesday's action?
Not really. I think, you know, it's been a very good last fortnight. I think the racing at Aintree was marvellous. The racing at Ayr, Scottish National, I do wish to see you at midnight, had held on. I would love to have seen him win. But, you know, Sam Twiston Davis rode a tremendously good race on Vincenti to win. And well done to him and well done to Paul Nicholls. It's been a great ending to the National Hunt season.
It has. And we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing now. We'll get Lord Budden's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, let's get stuck into Tuesday's racing. We go to Ludlow first for their 3:40, and this one is a handicap hurdler class 3 event over the extended 2 miles and 7 furlongs. It's for the Henley Hall Gold Cup, and a field of 13 to go to post here, John, so plenty in with chances.
Yes, it's an interesting race. The weights are headed by Driftwood Hayes, who will be running under a £7 penalty for a victory at Force Lass in really hock-deep ground, Mark. And it could have taken quite a little bit out of him. We've got Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnston in action at Ludlow. It is, of course, a track which is fairly close to Richard Johnston's home base, and he's always liked riding around Ludlow. Royal Milan is an unexposed horse of Philip Hobbs's. Won at Catterick, only a 5-runner race, but did it well. I think I'm right in saying it was the first winner Philip Hobbs had at Catterick for a very, very long time, if ever before. he must have a very decent chance. They all got to beat, though, the Ludlow specialist in this race, which is still believing. Evan Williams's runner has, I think, won three times at Ludlow during the current campaign, has also been placed here. Evan Williams and Ludlow are synonymous, and I think still believing is the horse they've all got to beat here. But Royal Milan did it nicely at Canterbury, could be a progressive thought, and is the choice.
Royal Milan then the choice for Lord Budden in the 3:40 at Ludlow. To Kempton we go next for their 4 o'clock. This one is a class 3 handicap chase. It's over 3 miles. We've got 14 of them in the lineup for this one, John. Again, it's competitive stuff, and I suppose a lot of people will be drawn to Port Mellon given Paul Nicholls' current form.
Well, yes, I mean, it's a decent horse, Port Mellon, but if you look at the actual placings and form, you would say, what on earth are you talking about? Well, Port Mellon was a very good point-to-point winner. He was considered to be an excellent buy from that particular sphere, certain to make his name as a handicap chaser. Has, in fact, been disappointing this year, but he did finish third in a good race at Newbury, if a remote third, and I think he will be much better on spring ground. So he's got to have a major chance, Port Mellon, if he returns to the sort of form that he was expected to show. I think there are two others in the race with a definite chance. Present Views, for example, rather lost the plot since winning at Cheltenham, whatever it was, two festivals ago. If I remember correctly, he beat my own choice there at Atlance, Malcolm Jefferson and Brian Hughes. But since then, he has not quite produced the business. There have been obviously problems. However, he did finish second at Southall last time out, Present Views. Jamie Snowden's horses seem to be coming back to form in the spring, and I think he'll go well. Also in this race who'll go well is Loose Chips, who was second at Sandown to Beg to Differ last time, but runs well here at Kempton. And were the two P's, Port Mellon and Present Views, not to return to their best form, then Loose Chips would have to be there and pick up the pieces. I'm going to go with Present Views, though. I think this horse is coming back to something like his best form.
Present view then for Lord Budden in the 4 o'clock at Kempton. Staying at Kempton for their 4:30 next. This one is a class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. We've got 16 of them in the lineup here, John, so we'll have four places to aim at from an each way perspective. And I suppose it's a similar story. I could introduce this in a similar way. Chartbreaker for Paul Nicholls. People will be watching his horse at the moment. Only had 3 starts, and the last of them was a winning one, so we'll start with that one.
Yeah, I think Chartbreaker is one of the horses that is certain to catch a judge's eye in this race. Paul Nicholls will obviously be all out to get wins. And I think you can have faith in the man. He's had 4 winners, after all, on his birthday. The stable are really buzzing now. And anything which he actually puts out is likely to run very well. So I think Chartbreaker will go particularly well in this something of a minefield of a race with 16 runners, and if I was at Kempton, I would be having just a few pennies on Chartbreaker.
Okay, what's the main danger in there, John, do you think? Clondor Banker for Nicky Henderson, a winner at Sandown 2 starts ago, 4th of 10 in a decent race at Market Raising last time as well, so the form's not too bad.
Anything Nicky Henderson runs at Kempton is a serious danger to all the other runners. One of my favourite horses, Might Bite, who missed Cheltenham, and I missed to see that he was running at Kempton about 3 weeks ago, carried top weight and won by the length of the street. And Nicky Henderson's got a fantastic strike rate here at Kempton. And Clondor Banker won quite well, I think, at Ascot earlier in the season. He's a decent horse, and I think Kempton will suit. If a Chartbreaker doesn't run up to form, yes, Clondor Banker's got a very sound chance, and he should certainly get into the first four.
Mm. And you've highlighted Nicky Henderson's record at Kempton in general. Well, he's won the last 2 renewals of this race as well, with One Lucky Lady in Cocktails at Dawn the year before, John. So
yes, his horses seem to run better at Kempton than almost any race course, certainly in the south of England.
Mm. We finish off in the 550 at Brighton. A bit of flat action here. We've got a class 4 handicap over almost 7 furlongs, really. It's the extended 6 furlongs, and 10 of them to go to post here. John, which ones have made the shortlist?
Well, I think there are just two which have definitely made the shortlist in this race, and one of them is Patrick Channon's horse, which has got a very sound chance indeed in this particular contest, going for a three-timer. This horse, isn't it? And beat Lucky Die at Lingfield last time out, also ran very well at Kempton before that. And the other of my sort of two is Fingal's Cave, and I'm going to go for Fingal's Cave, Mick Shannon, and that man Sylvester D'Souza. What interests me a bit about this race, Mark, is that the draw could be quite important. It's softish ground at Brighton, and Fingal's Cave is drawn 9, which means he'll swing round Wilson Avenue on the outside of the field. And when the ground is soft at Brighton, they often come up the wide outside and up the stand side. I think Sylvester D'Souza's ideally placed for that on Fingal's Cave. He ran quite well last time, a winner on the penultimate, nicely weighted. I think Fingal's Cave is the one to be going for.
Fingal's Cave then for Lord Budden in the 5.50 at Brighton. As usual, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your four selections for Tuesday one more time.
Yes, well, we start off in the 3.40 at Ludlow, and I'm going for Philip Hobbs and Richard Johnson here with Royal Milan. Then we're off to the 4 o'clock at Kempton, and I'm hoping Present View is going to come back to form. In the 4.30, Paul Nichols and Chart Breaker, that's the 4.30 at Kempton, and finally, in the 5.50 at Brighton, Sylvester D'Souza and Fingal's Cave.
Superb. Good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.50pm with Ross Briley, John Babb and Kevin O'Malley in the studio. We've got Kempton, Ludlow and Wolverhampton in the afternoon, and two meetings in the evening as well on the flat at Brighton and over the obstacles at Sedgefield. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.